Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game in the Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. TD, Teron Davenport, will join us in 1 hour. We'll get a recap of what TD saw, what he wanted to see but didn't see at Mandatory Minicamp this past week. And, of course, we've got OTAs going down this week as well. So what TD wants to see on the practice field this week. So we'll get into all of that with TD. But now we're kind of recapping Tony Vitello's press conference. And what we just left off on last segment was a reaction to one little blurb of what Tony Vitello had to say. If you missed it, this is what Tony Vitello kind of started a long diatribe on in his post-game press conference last night.
I've stayed in an awful lot of hotels to be in this position, alone and running around and watching games. And we've done it, I think, from the ground up here. And while I'm at it, anybody that's thinking about visiting our place that we're recruiting and you think this is a place you can come and have your hand out and see how much money we can give you, don't waste our time and don't waste your time either.
Basically, he's saying, if money's your number one motivating factor, don't come calling to me. I have some thoughts, but I'll pose the question to you two first. Is Tony Vitello wrong in saying that?
I think the premise of it is, you know, because I'm saying the premise of it is probably I could agree with them based upon just, you know, on face value because, you know, college sports is, it's always has been. You come here. Great experience, meet a lot of good people, friendships forever, win games, championships hopefully, and you're able to look back in 10, 15 years and say, man, my college athletic experience to go along with my academic experience, if those two are combined together, good experiences, not everybody has a good experience with both together. So it's supposed to be, yes, we had a good time. Yes, we can always look back on those years of growing up, having fun and winning games. So I understand from that standpoint. Yes, he is right. But the record scratches. We're in a new day and age. Okay. No longer is it about all of that stuff anymore because for so many years, y'all were getting paid off of the backs of every athlete on that campus, especially if you had dominant teams, basketball, football, baseball. You benefited because you had dominant teams. So the premise of it, I get it, but we're in a new day and age now. That's what these kids, if these five-star kids and these four-star kids, you know they're coming through the door asking, how much can you give me? That's just the way it is. It's free agency every year, like you said, Willie. And when you have free agency every year, to my experience, you go and say, how much money? I believe I'm worth this amount. Are you willing to pay it? If you're not, great. Maybe we can get it from somewhere else. But if you are, give me the money, and I will show you that I'm worth every penny that you're giving me. So to me, he's right on one hand. But we are past that. The horse is out of the barn. You can't bring it back in. So now you just got to adapt. This stuff that you say, it doesn't help your cause. It really, at least I don't believe it helps your cause to go out here and say, oh, if you are looking for money. Because to me, that was from an experience. When you say something, because it was almost, y'all too, it was almost he was talking, and then something came into his head. He was like, yeah. Oh, yeah. So which means.
That's speaking from experience.
Exactly. Something irritated him not long ago. A player coming, a really good player, whatever, that he had to bring that up because he was talking about something else and just was like, let me talk about this. But coach, you know this is the world of college athletics now. They're coming in, and if they're good enough, they're 4- and 5-star guys and girls. They're coming in there. You know they're asking for money. So why even say that?
I think he is lamenting what you're losing, even though he's gained a lot by this system. I think his program is one of the beneficiaries of being a team that had the resources to pay players. I think they got the reputation around the league of Tennessee's got some money. If I'm a pitcher, I can make some pretty good money transferring to Tennessee. Or, you know, if I'm a successful pitcher coming up through the ranks at Tennessee, I got a chance to make more money each year. I think that kind of thing I'm just have to assume is happening. And they put it out there. As they put their own reputation out there of Tennessee has this awesome collective. We are all about winning across the board, right? Not just baseball, but all their sports. And when you do that, there are unintended consequences. And I think you probably have some people coming to your doorsteps going, oh, I heard you make a lot of money here. Coach, what do you got for me? Right? But at the same time, I do not begrudge a coach for sitting there going, I didn't sign up for being a salary capologist. I didn't sign up for having to be like a general manager that has no collective bargaining agreement, no salary cap. Everybody's a free agent every year. I signed up to coach. I want to build and develop players. I want to build good people. And it's becoming less and less about that and much more and more about what's your budget?
Yeah.
How do you play this game? How do I keep everybody happy? Because it's so much, it's the payment, but it's also the playing time, right? What does everybody on that team want to do? They'd love to get drafted and go pursue a big league career.
Where the real money is made.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so now you don't have to go to the minors and make, you know, peanuts every 2 weeks going out of high school. So you have that as well. But if you're not playing every day or if you're pitching 10 innings in the season, then that's also part of the equation, right? Can I go somewhere else, make money, and pitch more? Mm-hmm. Or can I go to somewhere else, make money, and play every day instead of coming off the bench and clawing and scratching for at-bats? That's a huge part of it, right? So keeping everybody happy, even when you're winning, is not easy. But nobody's going to feel sorry for you
right.
when you're the number one overall seed.
You're the number one overall seed, and however much Tony Vitello wants to tell this story of how you're playing with house money, you're not. You are not. You are the hunter. Wait. Hunted, not the hunter.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying. But here's kind of my interpretation of what Tony Vitello said. What he meant by that statement, I don't know. I didn't talk to him. I'm not maybe I'll ask him. Maybe if we get to chat with him at some point. But this is how I interpreted it. I don't think Tony Vitello is saying you're not going to get NIL money at Tennessee, because that's silly. Everybody knows that if you play for a school like Tennessee, a baseball program like Tennessee that's incredibly lucrative and there's a lot of buy-in, you're going to make some NIL money. I think what he's saying, or at least how I interpreted it, was if money is your number one motivation, I don't want guys here that are motivated by money. Because if I have a locker room full of guys that only came to Tennessee for the money, well, then you've got a pretty unhealthy locker room. That's not a great culture in a locker room that is solely based on money. I think Tony Vitello is saying, look, if you want to come here and you want to win games, if you want to compete for championships, if you want to get developed for Major League Baseball, because if you look at that 2022 squad, well, Jordan Beck is now playing for the Rockies. Trey Lipscomb is now playing for the Washington Nationals. That who is the pitcher that pitches like 150 miles an hour? Ben Joyce.
Chase Dolander.
Joyce was pitching for the Angels. Chase Dolander is another example that he was a first-round pick. Like, you're seeing Tennessee players now playing, not very far removed from the draft, playing in the major leagues. Like, that, I think, speaks for itself.
It's easier to contain those guys who had a great experience. It's easy to keep those guys and hopefully have your cake and eat it, too. You know, guys like that will get paid going forward. They'll be happy with their role. In theory, they should be the ones saying, yeah, we're about the program. We're about the culture. I'm staying. It's harder for the backup, who might be pretty talented, right, and came to Tennessee with expectations of being the next Chase Dolander or Ben Joyce. And you're like, wait a minute, I'm not getting the chance.
Yeah.
You know, I'm getting paid, but I'm not playing. Or I'm not getting paid, and I'm doing really well. I want more. Like, these are all things that naturally come with
totally.
When money starts getting involved.
Totally.
Right? And so it cracks at your ability to build a culture. And everybody's adjusting to that.
It's absolutely difficult, which I think is why Tony Vitello is saying that. Look, you are going to be able to cash in on opportunities at the University of Tennessee, just like any other big-time program, the SEC and the Big Ten, and now in the ACC. Look, three ACC teams mm-hmm. in Omaha already, potentially a fourth if NC State beats Georgia today. But I think Tony Vitello is saying, money will not be the number one thing that we talk about here in recruiting. And maybe it is. Maybe it is behind closed doors, and he's just saying that in front of the media. But I think as long as we live in an NIL era where there are zero rules, regulations, or guidelines, it really truly is the wild, wild west. Well, now coaches have to do everything in their power to try and at least put guidelines and guardrails and rules and regulations on their own locker rooms. And sometimes that means, pumping the brakes a little bit on NIL. I do think absolutely Tennessee is going to be in a competitive NIL space with a top transfer and with a top recruit. And they'll say, hey, this is our offer. This is what we are going to give you. Because we know that if we're not competitive in this space, then we're not going to be competitive on the field either. But I do understand the point where, look, we're going to be in the mix in NIL, but we have to draw a line somewhere. We have to have our own regulations here that I can't just be throwing millions and millions of dollars. And I don't really know what the average mm-hmm. NIL is for a college baseball player. We're not going to be throwing six figures to any player all willy-nilly just because they ask for it.
Yeah, and that part I understand again. But because he should have said, because I can understand from this standpoint, if you are a freshman coming in, not a transfer. If you are a freshman coming in, it's like prove yourself first. So I get that part. Again, I get where he's trying to go with this, but you can't benefit from it like tremendously, but then complain about it and say, well, if you're coming here to get money, then this is not the place. I understand that, but you don't know, what these kids are entering college, what they've went through, what their financial status is. Everybody doesn't have parents that can make enough money to, you got a scholarship. We can give you money and make sure you're well taken care of. Everybody doesn't travel down that road, okay? So for you to try to sort of make these, in this situation, these young men feel a certain way before they even try to even think about your university, that's completely wrong. Because again, y'all have set up this system this way, and we are at where we're at because y'all chose the arrogance of all of y'all, coaches, administration, everybody. Because I didn't see the coaches beating the door down saying, play the players, they need it. Some coaches probably were, but there wasn't this consensus of coaches beating down the door, say, give these men and women money. So don't have your cake and then complain about it. Like, oh, yeah. We're not like these. Let these kids come in. If you can't pay them or choose not to pay them, then do that. But don't publicly come in and try to make these kids feel as if their coach, if they ask for money to come to your university, oh, they're a bad person, right, or they're not a good teammate. Well, they may like everything about your program. They may have come from a winning program in high school and they blended in well, but one of the things now you can add into options is, are you paying me? It's scholarship, room and board, education. Are you paying me? That's right along with those options too. So don't make these kids feel bad because they want to get paid.
I'll give you another perspective too that I think is at play in baseball, because I think we have this image as well, and it's true that in a lot of cases, players that are moving the needle mm-hmm. for their universities are coming from challenged backgrounds financially, right? And that's always been sort of It's always been sort of the first thing as well. These guys coming up, they couldn't make a dime off their name. Mm-hmm. They don't have, and a lot of times they're coming from underserved communities, all of these things, right? They don't have the in baseball, when I hear, me being a travel parent dad that mm-hmm. is not coming from an underprivileged background, okay? But I'm coming from the perspective of, I see what travel baseball has become, a money-making machine, and I hear Tony Vitello talking about, yeah, I went to a lot of hotels. Well, those travel families have stayed in a lot of hotels. Mm-hmm. They have spent a lot of miles and a lot of money developing their kids to get to the point where they might be in a position to cash in a little bit. And maybe the family was well off enough to pay all that and spend all the time and money to do that. But at the same time, they're going to sit there and go, well, this is it. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what we played for, to get this opportunity. And we're going to take advantage of the opportunity as a family, as a player who put in all the work, driving to Hoover or driving to Texas or driving to Kentucky to play on all these tournaments. There's some hilarious people that have emerged on social media that capture the comedy and the craziness of travel sports. Like, your next tournament is in Mumbai, and we qualify for the silver division here, and our next game will be next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. And then if we win that, we're in the winner's bracket, and then we've got to get to our next tournament, which is over here in Los Angeles. You know, it's madness, right? So Tony Vitello should know that. You got to be careful when you're doing this, and you get a little bit of, woe is me, I'm working so hard here. Well, you're not the only guy.
That's a very fair point that I didn't think about, that Tony Vitello gets paid to stay in those hotel rooms and to go to these little league and, you know, travel
and
ball games.
All these coaches rose up as assistants where they had to do all the dirty work,
work.
Yeah, to get to that point. I get that. No question.
It's whether coaches like it or not, it's a realistic thing that's happening in college sport, that it will be part of the conversation. Scholarships, playing time, coaches, NIL. It's just, that is a realistic part of all of it. And I understand coaches that don't want it to be at the forefront of all of the conversations. But we'd be kidding ourselves if we thought that it wasn't at least part of the conversation.
But before, let me get this last thing in. To me, it's disingenuous when you say that, because now what people are thinking that, okay, before all this, if you were one of those guys fighting for money for college athletes, if you were that voice and then come back and say this, were you really a voice for us then? You see what I'm saying? If you've been one of those individuals that have been on the forefront, like the players need to play, you know, they need to get paid, but then you come back and you say something like this, whether it was Coach Vitello or anybody, then it becomes disingenuous, because now as a player or as an athlete, man or woman, I'm thinking, well, did you really mean what you were saying about we should get paid? Because that doesn't line up with what you were saying prior. So
it's a fair point. We've got a bunch of phones on this, a bunch of thoughts in our phone and text line. So we are right to you coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to get in on the conversation. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, you can sign up today to play in the 615 Open at the beautiful Hermitage Golf Course on Thursday, June 20th. Compete for amazing prizes, including $10,000 cash for a hole-in-one or a $20,000 kitchen or bath makeover from Eurostone. Plus, you'll have the chance to win exclusive experiences, that only a radio station can provide. So don't miss out on this incredible event. For more details and to sign up, visit 615open.com. We're reacting to Tony Vitello's comments that he made in a long opening statement in his press conference last night. He hit on several things. The definition of success, talked about Cabo and Ibiza, which... obviously, that's what a college baseball coach says in a post-press.
He throws all these, like,
patriotism?
Exactly. Ibiza and all. How many of these guys can afford to go there? So why would you even throw it in there? Like, it's not like you're talking about professional. Well, they are professionals in a sense because they're getting paid. But
spring break.
Exactly.
But he had a lot of pressing issues. Obviously, the biggest is very clear frustration over a question asking if this season would be successful even if they had fallen short of Omaha. But what we're reacting to now is his comments about NIL. Essentially, he's saying, don't come here if you're just looking for how much money we can pay you and how well we can line your pockets. We've got some thoughts on this and a lot of reaction on our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHonda.com. So unless we have some thoughts.
Well, let's go to the phones. But before we go to the phones quickly, I don't think he's – because we did get a text, and I appreciate the text. But I don't think he's anti – NIL. I don't. And that's not what I'm saying. But when you make that a part of your speech or your spiel, when it really shouldn't be, because it sort of came out of it seemed like it came out of the side door because you were focused on something else and it was like squirrel. Then you went over here. Then you start talking about this. So which tells me there was a situation. You're talking about a situation, not necessarily the entirety of the NIL. Yeah. I get that part.
Let's get into your phone. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to get in on the conversation. George is on the line with a thought on NIL. What's up, George?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I've been listening to your conversation, and one thing that I don't hear mentioned is about getting a college education and whether or not that is linked to playing time or to NIL money. You know, we got to remember that this is college athletics. We go to college to get an education. Most athletes, unless it's a very rare situation, are done with sports by the age of 35 or 40. That education's really valuable for the remainder of their life. And I don't hear anything, any talk about any link to grades, maintaining grades, to get playing time and to get this money that we're talking about.
It's unbelievable. George.
Thanks for your call, George.
Thank you for at least throwing that out there in the hopes that that is still out there. But I get increasingly, I guess, disappointed with the fact that the coaches don't even go through the charade of talking about how well their team's doing in the classroom or things like that. It's just, it's so secondary now. It should be about that, or at least to some degree. Should be. These are 18 to 22-year-old kids that are playing baseball, and it is increasingly looked upon as a professional venture now and not, you're supposed to be going to school. Even though I know for the last 50 years and more that there's been exploitation, and it's not, even for the kids sometimes, the education is very secondary. But still, it's there. You are going to school. Like, I hope some kids are still valuing going to school and getting your degree, or at least getting on your way to degree. I think you can do that and still pursue athletics at the highest venture and still have the dream of turning pro. Because, as George points out, even if you're great and you make it all the way to the major leagues, which most people won't, most people will be like me, had a good run, played a couple years in the minors. Maybe you do, maybe you don't, and then you get off the ride, or you're thrown off the ride, right? You don't choose. You want to keep playing, but there's no opportunity. Where do you go from there? It happened to me at age 24, okay? That's young. It's going to happen for some of these guys, whether it's 24, 28, even if you make it. He said 35 or 40. Most of them would be done well before that. Even if you made it to the majors.
You're probably, even if you make it to the majors, getting past 30 years old, I think, is a really incredibly impressive feat.
Incredibly impressive. And still, you've got a long way to go in your life. And so what do you got, right? What are you about as a person? That's where it comes back around. And if you're looking back going, but I made $100,000 my freshman year, and then I went to this other school and I made $200,000, and you completely lost sight of growing up as an individual in the classroom and otherwise, then you run the risk of paying the price for that, I think. There is a price to be paid.
Yes, I get that. It's all about perception and reality. You know, yes, you know, getting your – we shouldn't, even in this day and age, you shouldn't diminish getting your college degree if you have the ability to do it. If you're in college and you get a scholarship, or if you're paying your way. And, you know, it's there. Then take advantage of it. But let's not sit here. I'm just being a realist about this. I understand that getting a degree and going to school, that's important. I get that because I stress that with my own kids. That's important. But I also understand everything is driven by money. Everything is driven by money. If it wasn't, we wouldn't be in this situation that we are in college sports. Everything is driven by money. So in knowing that, I'm not going to be naive and think, let these kids just go to college and get your degree, and that's wonderful, and yay, little Johnny, and yay, little Derek, and yay, little Bailey, get your degree. That's great. I want, as a parent, I want that. But everybody doesn't think like me. Everybody doesn't think like Willie, okay? Let's take advantage of an opportunity that we have. And if we can make some money in the process of getting our degree, then let's do it. Because let's not paint everybody with a brush. There are more of these kids getting their college degree now than there ever has been, I believe.
Now there's an incentive.
Exactly. There's incentive to stick around. And the caller was right from this standpoint. And he was right with a lot of it, but I'm just saying this specific standpoint. Maybe they should, you know, it should be an incentive to, you know, if you, your grading system, if you get whatever over a 2.5 or a 3 point, then you get an extra whatever it else, you know, or you, in order to maintain this NIL deal, you have to maintain X. You see what I'm saying? Because some kids just leave college early. Like, I'm leaving college early. I did great in school. Maybe I didn't graduate right now, but I want to leave college early to go into the NBA, go into the NFL or whatever, baseball, whatever. But that doesn't mean I didn't take my education.
Right.
I'm serious. It's just I have an opportunity in front of me that not many people have, and I'm taking advantage of it. Again, don't make these kids feel like when they're taking an advantage that there's something wrong, because a lot of y'all damn grown-ups have taken advantage of it. So now when these kids are taking advantage of it, don't make them seem like they're doing something wrong. That's all I can. I understand, because I preach it to my kids, your education is first. I get that. I understand it, especially in today's age where it's so competitive. But if a kid has an opportunity to make seven figures, eight figures, let that person do it.
Yeah.
Don't hold them back.
And there's always has been an still will be, I guess, as long as the NCAA still exists, you have to go to class and maintain a certain grade point average to be eligible to play. That's always existed. And let's not act like this is some brand new thing that some players are going to certain schools just to play. And we'll get to some phones here in just a second, but I'll use my own personal example. I was a freshman the same year that Ben Simmons was a freshman at LSU. Mm-hmm. He never went to class. I saw him out all the time, having fun and partying. He didn't go to class. He didn't take tests. He didn't do his homework. And ultimately, he was not NCAA eligible because he had like a 0.06 grade point average. That was pre-NIL. And I'm sure he was getting a little bit of incentive on the side to be there. I'm sure he was cashing in, at least illegally. But it's always been about how can I get my fast track to a professional league? Where can I go that is going to set me up for the NFL, MLB, NBA, whatever it is? That's always been the case. Players have transferred even before
Ben
NIL.
Simmons is a top tenth of 1% of a talent.
He knew he was going to be the number one overall pick in the draft.
Right, there are some guys like that are in a different category than the vast majority of, just good college players.
Yes.
Right? So there's a scale.
Yeah.
Right? There's
example, but he's not the only one. Who was the Ohio State player that said, I didn't come here to play school?
Pre-NIL. It was the running back. Maurice Claret.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't come here to play school. I'm sure a lot of athletes have felt
Maurice
that
Claret.
Way in the past.
Claret.
And of course, we're talking about an Ohio State football player that probably knows that he's going to have a fast track to the NFL and making millions. When we're talking about
Maurice Claret's got a pretty unique story.
Yeah,
there's been a 30
story,
for 30 about it. It's not all, roses.
Not all sunshine and rainbows. Yeah. Tim's on the line with a thought on Vols NIL. What's up, Tim?
Hey, guys. Listen, this NIL deal has been it's the death of amateur athletics. There are no more amateur athletics. College sports is just basically minor leagues for the pros now. And
agreed.
Tim Corbett is the one that has been fighting against this, and you see what we look like now in the last two or three years. If either Corbin's going to have to get on it and start doing what everybody else is, or we're going to be in the bottom two or three of the league.
Thank you, Tim.
Yeah, thanks for your call, Tim.
And it was
Cardale Jones.
Cardale Jones,
thank
the big quarterback.
Thank
Not
you, Joe
Maurice
and Nolansville. Yeah.
I am so sorry, Maurice Claret. I shouldn't have put that on you. You had a lot going on. You didn't need that because you had enough going on.
He probably felt that same way, though.
Exactly. He probably felt
that
same
way. I'm sure a lot of players have felt that
Cardale
way.
Cardale is not unique,
yes,
I don't think.
Exactly. Yeah.
He just said it on the record.
Right. He was the one that was brave enough to say
exactly.
it. John's on the line with a thought on NIL. What's up, John?
Tony was only saying, hey, it's about the team, not the bling. He wasn't saying anything against the NIL. He knows the NIL. He agrees with the NIL. He's just the team first and then the money second. There's no issue with that. That's just how he builds a program. That's how Kirby Smart builds it. That's how Nick Saban builds it. That's how the good programs do it. And then to say that they don't know the background of these kids, these coaches know the background. They know their parents, where they work. They know their girlfriend. They know everything about these kids. They want to help these kids as much as they can, but they want to build the team the right way.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, John.
John, and listen, I'm not going to disagree with John because he has a point. You want to try. There's a way as a coach you want to try, because for so long prior to NIL, this is the way you did it. Like, this is how I'm going to build my team. Chemistry, you got to have some good players, and then you got to, within those really good players, you got to find a way to try to build chemistry, because everybody's not a five-star athlete. So you got to try to merge all of that together. But even with that, it's like, it's just the day and age that we're in now. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying, again, I don't think Coach V is NIL, anti-NIL or anything. But when you say things like that, some people might take it as being tone deaf. Like, you know the waters you're in now. That's like going in the middle of the ocean where it's shark infested and then talk about not sharks not being around. Like, I can't swim around. Well, you know why you can't swim around. There's a bunch of sharks, and you knew it the minute you got in the ocean. So you can't complain about it now. That's all I'm saying. I don't think Coach V is anti-NIL. I don't think he is. But when you say things like that, knowing good and well that you're going to have to potentially shovel out some, or somebody is, it's not you, somebody, and maybe that's why he's saying it, because he's not the one that's giving the money. So it's like, don't come asking me, because I can understand it from that standpoint.
But he's the one that has to deal with it,
exactly,
whether it's his money or
not. Absolutely. So let me, if I'm wrong, I will always say that I'm wrong. And in this situation, I let me take a couple of steps back on it. He's probably saying it because he's not the one that's actually giving you, like, he can't physically give you money. Like, so don't come to me asking. Y'all know where to go. Whoever your people are, y'all know where to go. If you ask me, there's nothing I can do for you as a coach.
But it's fair to say that the Tennessee's collective from day one, mm-hmm, as soon as the Supreme Court thing went down, NIL's legal, boom, here comes the collective, and they are in the game. That reputation spreads fast, mm-hmm, and they benefited from that.
Yeah.
And so if they have the reputation of Tennessee's where you can go and make a lot of money, and he doesn't
get mad,
like,
at the kids when they ask for it.
Well, and he can't get mad that he's benefited from that, and if he's got that tag, then he's got to live with that, right? And he has absolutely, like the caller said, he's got every right to say, okay, now within this new system, I can't be against NIL. I benefited from that. We have resources that plenty of other programs don't. But that doesn't mean I still don't want to build a good program and a good culture and all of that stuff. It can't just be about the money. But it goes with the territory. You reap what you sow. When you're in that game and you're broadcasting it around, maybe not him personally, but the school is like, we got this great collective. Come to Tennessee. We want to be good. We're in this modern game. Mm-hmm. Then you have to deal with what comes with that. And that's what's coming with that.
And I don't disagree with what he's saying, because I think that you can live in the NIL space and say, hey, look, you can come here and make money. We just don't want that to be your number one prerogative.
Right.
We don't want that to be your number one motivator. Because if money is your number one motivator, you're probably not going to fit in very well with this culture and in this locker room. Want to get back into your phones on this, but a little bit of breaking news coming out from Woj. Connecticut's Dan Hurley has turned down the LA Lakers' 6-year, $70 million offer and will return to chase a third straight national title. ESPN sources tell ESPN, LA would have made him one of NBA's 6 highest paid coaches. Over $10 million a year that Dan Hurley turned down from the Lakers.
Well, Dan Hurley don't mind NIL then. He don't mind that space. And I'm sure Connecticut, they are anteing up some money, boy, to keep him at UConn.
If I'm UConn, what do you want? Like, what can we offer?
Well, he
you?
Already had an extremely
nice
lucrative contract.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they have renegotiated.
Lifetime contract.
But in all this that we're talking about, I think Dan Hurley probably had to sit there, just like we talked mm-hmm. last week when this came up on Friday. Do I want to live in this world? Am I okay with this? Now, he's got advantages, but as he's
as he's probably already found out and will continue to, that this is keeping your roster together and every year having to build and rebuild a new team when the expectations are extremely high will be a challenge, and he's accepted that challenge.
Well, let's not act like being the head coach of the Lakers when LeBron is on your team would be any sort of walk in the park.
Hey, stop it.
It's just a new challenge.
Get off my Lakers.
Get off my Lakers.
LeBron is your star player, the head coach, the general manager, and kind of the owner.
The head coach, the owner.
The GM. Yeah, it is not LeBron. He is the everything for the L.A. Lakers. I don't know. I mean, like, yeah, you got a lot on your plate at Connecticut, but you're basically surrendering a decent amount of power whenever you decide to take that job at the LA Lakers, because LeBron is in charge.
Yeah, pretty much so. But stay off my Lakers. We good. We good.
All right, we'll get back into your phones on this. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Tune in tomorrow to Robbie and Rex Road from 6 to 9 a.m. for your chance to win tickets to see Alanis Morissette at Bridgestone Arena on June 23rd. I love her. I want to go to that concert. Contest is presented by Green Trees. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays. We'll catch up with TD at the top of the hour. We'll get TD's thoughts, what he saw from minicamp, what he wants to see at OTAs this week. But first, we are right to your phones on Tony Vitello, on the Vols, on NIL. The Tennessee Vols punched their ticket to Omaha in the College World Series, but that's not even the headline today. The headline today is Tony Vitello's opening statement in his press conference last night. So we are right back to you. Joe is on the line with a thought on the Vols and NIL. What's up, Joe?
Hey, good afternoon. Just two things real quick. The first thing, and I'm a big Tennessee fan, but and you're probably aware of this, Willie, and everybody, but, you know, he's about to have almost a complete turnover of his starting lineup. And what you're hearing is a lot of frustration. He's trying to reset. He's already thinking about next year. He is a general manager. He's going to have to reset this whole thing. I mean, that's what's going on.
I think every coach is stressed about that. Wouldn't you agree, Joe? Like, I think every coach.
To a degree, but he's just had a 4 or 5 year run, Willie, where he's had these old guys plus 1 or 2, 3 sprinkled in, by the way, NIL guys, and now he's going to have 7 or 8 guys he's got to go find.
It's hard to stay at the top, and also you want to take advantage, like we said last hour, while you have the experience and the edge over a lot of teams. You want to cash in with a championship.
Happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you're a baseball guy. I mean, this whole nonsense about it's going to be a disappointment. The best team rarely ever wins the World Series. I mean, look at the Dodgers. Look at the Braves. I mean, it's nonsense. It's a tournament. So, I mean, that's crap. But and the last thing is, you were talking about Burns about half an hour ago. And, you know, I'm not trying to be difficult with you, but he played himself out as a starter last year with the Vols. He is in the bullpen when it got down to it. And that's what he didn't like, and he wasn't going to be a starter this year is what he was told. So that's why he packed up and moved on.
Do you think they could use him, though, right now?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, but you saw what he was at the end of last year. He was like a small team. He became a great closer.
It was really interesting how that happened. And it just shows you, again, how difficult the game of baseball is. Right?
Thank
where you,
Joe,
can, you could have a great – you could have a great – run and suddenly you lose it for a little bit. I will say this though: by the postseason last year, he was coming out of the pen and absolutely dominating. He was blowing people away.
But as a starter, he really
struggled. He struggled, and they had other guys. This year, it's interesting how they go about it with the starters. I have not sat there and watched any of their starters dominate. I mean, like on the level that you go through the years, and you say in Omaha, a Paul Skenes.
A Hagen Smith at Arkansas.
Right, but guys who
Rhett Lauder
teams have ridden guys like this to a World Series.
Yeah.
Not necessarily future major league stars, but dominant
pitchers
college
at that
pitchers.
Moment.
Jack Caglione at Florida.
Yeah.
But here, I mean, Joe made a good point is that, and again, I think I brought this up earlier, he's coming to an end of his window. And I think he realizes that. And now these kids are coming in saying they want money. Now, how do you replenish your roster without having to spend a bunch of money? They've been doing it the last 5 years. You know, they've been to a been Omaha 4 out of 5 years, so they've been doing a damn good job. But now the turnover is coming on your roster, and you might not be as good as you once were. So maybe, yeah, the frustration is, you know, I got to reset my roster, and every kid that's coming in here, the kids that we want, they want money, and we can't pay everybody. We're going to pay some people. That's just the way it is. But we can't pay everybody. And man, oh, man, if I don't get the guys to come in here, I'm trying to find a way to talk them out of asking for money. Just come to the program, build up the program, and eventually you'll get your money. But he knows that that window is coming to an end, and these guys are about to start graduating, and he got to find a way to replenish that roster very quickly. This is where the rubber meets the road now. You've had 3 or 4 good years, and now these new kids are coming in and asking for money. What do you do? Because you got to rebuild your roster somehow, some way, other than transfers.
I have to give Tony a lot of credit. The core of that 2022 team, for the most part, is gone. No Luke Lipschitz, no why are all of their names escaping me? Trey Lipscomb, no Jordan Beck. Who was the chippy little catcher who got up all in an umpire's face? Drew Gilbert?
Yeah, oh, he's an outfielder, but right? I mean, he's not Drew Gilbert's in the Mets system now. Drew Gilbert.
Just the core.
I'm really hoping Drew Gilbert ends up good.
Just the core of that 2022 team.
But yeah,
he got thrown out of
an NCAA tournament game for John at the umpire.
The core of that 22 team is gone. You have some holdovers from the 22 season, but really, like, it's not like Tony's been riding all the same players and all the same talent through the entirety of this run since, you know, 2021 when they got to Omaha for the first time. I mean, Tony's done a really good job of recruiting players, developing players, looking at Christian Moore, who won the regular season Triple Crown in the SEC, the success that he's had in the transfer portal. Billy Amick has been as good as any.
But that's what NIL was new.
Right.
It gets harder to keep that core together. To keep them together.
And it's not just hard for Tony Vitello and Tennessee Vols. It is hard for every single coach and every single school and every single sport in America.
Evan Russell, by the way, catcher.
Evan Russell, thank you very much. Was Drew Gilbert the chippy little Okay.
I believe
Drew Gilbert got thrown out of the NCAA tournament game for arguing a ball and strike. He just, you know, he jawed and the guy gave him a quick hook and everybody went nuts. And He was a very emotional player.
He was
great
player. Firecracker.
Great player. First round pick who is a prospect right now. I'm trying to think. It was Verlander. Verlander got traded last year from the Mets to the Astros, and Drew Gilbert was one of the prospects that they got back.
Yes, because he got drafted by the Astros.
Yeah, so he was a first round pick, a very good player, but an example of the talent that they've had there.
And I know me saying the chippy little player on the 2022 team narrows it down to just about every single player on that team.
Yes,
but you know what I'm talking about. All right, TD will join us coming up next. His takeaways from mandatory minicamp last week and what he's keeping an eye on in OTAs this upcoming week. Tron Davenport coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.